you doing today, Coach?
Doing all right, Glenn. Pete, Fred, Coach. Steve, how are you guys doing?
Coach, doing good.
Thanks for the goodies.
Yeah. We had to...
Thawing out?
Yeah. How'd you like moving to warmer weather in Buffalo?
It was good. Bombing. After the week of practice we had last week, it was pretty mild.
Sun came out and everything. What's up with that?
Yeah, it was almost tropical.
It sucked back here, I can tell you that. We had all sorts of snow out here. But
Glenn had to pay four people to shovel his walk.
Nice win yesterday up there in Buffalo. Let's talk a little bit about it. That first possession by Buffalo looked a little bit scary as they were running the ball right at you guys. Did you make adjustments after that, or were the plans already that you played that little funky defense, which we've seen before up there in Buffalo? Was that planned beforehand, or did you have to do that after you saw what Buffalo was able to do on the ground?
Well, yeah, we used five linebackers and six defensive backs, mainly on third down. And that was the plan going in. We actually used it on the first drive, I think, on that third and goal at the five or six, whatever it was, last play. So, yeah, that didn't really have any. That was more of a third down game plan. But, you know, Buffalo did a good job running the ball, and we made some adjustments. And, you know, I think once, you know, our guys saw it, they played some of the blocks a little bit better, and, the backs are good. Jackson got outside a couple times, broke a tackle. So, you know, we tried to tackle him a little bit better after that drive. Sometimes you need to see those guys for, not that we haven't seen them before, but, you know, see them in person and kind of, you know, you recognize how quick they are and helps tackle them a little bit later on.
Well, Jackson is north-south runner. He hits those seams pretty nice. It looked like at the beginning they were double-teaming the nose, getting some movement. Backer wasn't entering quick enough. And it seemed to be a space there. Was Brace did okay, but he was catching blocks early, seemed to settle down a little bit. What adjustments did you make in the 3-4? Because you played a little bit more 3-4, a little more sound. At first, they were finding gaps and hitting holes on you.
Right. Yeah, I think it was just a combination of things, Fred. We used a couple of different defenses where we, you know, brought the inside linebackers up a little bit, and then we reduced the ends down a little bit and put them on the guards a couple times, and we changed our rotation in the secondary. You know, we just mixed it up on them. And, you know, Ron did okay in there. You know, he hung in there. Some plays are better than others, but I thought he held line of scrimmage pretty good and, you know, got in on a few tackles. And I thought he gave a good count of himself. You know, I mean, overall, those three defensive linemen, Mike, Jarvis, and Ron, you know, pretty much went the whole way other than our sub package, and then that's when we used the linebacker. So that's how we kind of broke it up. We used Derek Burgess in there a little bit on some on some, you know, 3-4 stuff, but not a lot.
You mentioned Derek Burgess. He actually stepped up and was much more noticeable than he's been previously this year. Is that a factor of him getting a few more plays and sub-packages, or is it just him stepping up?
You know, Steve, I think he's had a pretty solid year for us, to mm-hmm. tell you the truth. I mean, he's, you know, that left side and Tully on the right side, I think overall that our edge pressure has been, you know, competitive. I'm not saying it's been overwhelming, but it, I mean, I've seen worse, and I think Derek's done a solid job over there for us, and you know, he also plays pretty solid on all the plays, not just the pass rush draws and some of the sub runs and all. You know, he usually has a tackle or two on those like he did yesterday, and he reads those pretty quickly, so you know, he's a pretty disciplined player over there on the edge, and I thought he gave us some good pressure even on that first sprint out pass that or the one that Will Hyde intercepted. You know, he did a nice job pulling a quarterback up and kind of getting in the throwing lane there and was a little bit disruptive on it. So, you know, he did a good job.
You're surprised that they were so caught off guard by that? Because it looks like their offensive line had trouble keying on the guy they had to block when you had that, you know, multiple linebacker look. And you got a lot of free runs. I mean, what you have, six sacks this week and put a lot of pressure on?
Right. Well, on some of those, we were picked up. You know, Tully was picked up two or three times and just actually beat the blocker. You know, one time he got Scott and a couple times he got Jackson. One time Guyton was matched up on Jackson inside and just, you know, got through and made the play. I think the first sack we had a free blitzer and Burgess got the quarterback when he stepped up. So it wasn't all just guys coming clean. A lot of it was, you know, beating blockers. One of the things that Buffalo likes to do is slide their line one way or the other to pick it up, so the quarterback looks one way and the line slides the other way, and we kind of felt by moving guys around in there it would make it a little harder for them to figure out, you know, exactly who's sliding to who as opposed to kind of blocking the guy right in front of them. So that was part of it. But, you know, really the players, they did a good job, and they, you know, I don't think it was as much a scheme as it was just the players pass rushing well, tackling well, and playing the run well for the most part.
Fitzpatrick didn't seem to get out of that pocket much. Was that your goal, to force him inside, force the pocket to collapse?
Absolutely. Yeah, we didn't want him out on the edge running around. And, you know, he hurt Miami on that with a scramble for about a 30-yard touchdown. And that's bothered some other people, too, where he gets outside and can see the field better. And of course, their receivers are good, and you don't want them running around forever. So we try to keep him in the pocket and at least make him throw on time.
You've had the luxury of having Jarvis Green and Mike Wright in this team for a few years now. Whenever somebody goes down the D-line, whether it was Richard when he was here or Will Fork or Warren, one of those two guys always seems to step it up and have a huge game. Mike Wright was just awesome yesterday.
Tremendous. Yeah, Mike had a heck of a game. He did a great job. Very good job in the running game. Did a good job rushing the passer and made the pursuit play, the chase play on Reed when he caught that pass over the middle on 4th and 8 and broke the tackle. Mike Wright actually ran him down, and then we ended up getting a stop there. So, you know, that might have been really the play of the game on defense, or one of them anyway. But, yeah, I thought Mike played extremely well, and he's had some good games for us in the past, whether it be at nose or like yesterday. Most of it was at end, although he also played some nose yesterday. But he really played well.
I'll go to the offensive side. You know, Buffalo has a blitzing defense, and you figure you can hit some things on them because they do put pressure on. But Brady was limited to 115 yards passing, had a pretty good running game. What were they doing off defensively, shut down some of the passes?
You know, they mixed it up on us a little bit, Fred. They gave us some man-to-man and mixed in, you know, a couple different zones. And they just kept changing it up. You know, we got a couple long pass interference calls that don't show up in the stats, but those were, you know, that was yardage we gained. But then, you know, we missed some passes that, you know, short passes and longer passes where we either, you know, just didn't quite connect on it for one reason or another, whether we had our hands on it and didn't catch it, or we didn't get it to the guy when he was open, or we had a couple balls batted down at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, I'd just say it's a combination of things. We didn't have a great day throwing the ball. And you know, Buffalo's is a good pass defense team. They're one of the top teams in the league, and the passing on the defensive pass defense side of the ball, and they did a good job yesterday. So, you know, we just got to work a little bit harder to get those things timed out and hit them a little bit more often.
How did Sebastian Vollmer play in place of Nick?
You know, Sebastian did a good job over there. Because of the way that Buffalo, you know, brought a lot of pressure, brought an extra linebacker, it kind of took away the chance to help, and that's what they do. They bring somebody so that your back or your uncovered lineman has to take that guy, and then that keeps them from helping out on Schoble and Maven and Kelsey or whoever they got out there, mm-hmm. and Denny and those guys. So you know, our tackles really didn't get a lot of help, but I thought they held up pretty well. You know, it's probably overall the best we blocked Schoble since I've been here, you know, for an entire game. And you know, Matt really did a good job over there on the left side against him. And but Sebastian did a nice job on the right side, too.
Did you think that was a penalty when he hit Brady below the knees when he jumped over the back? It looks like that's exactly what they describe it as.
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah. Well, I think there's some close calls in the game. And certainly, you know, this crew, as they usually do, called quite a few penalties. And they called the pass interference calls, the holding and those kind of things, and they called the plays on the returns, the blocking and illegal blocks and holding and stuff like that on the kick returns, and that's what this crew does. They call a lot of those, and they did it yesterday, and we talked about that going in, so it doesn't surprise me. But there were a couple other close plays that they're close. You know, I don't know if they are or aren't, but they're close.
Getting back to Vollmer, and you have linemen that over the years have been very flexible in positions. How much do they work on different positions during the course of the week? Vollmer, I would take it, is working both the left and the right tackle, but do other guys work different positions so that if you've got to slip somebody to another spot because of, let's say, an injury or a certain predicament during the course of the game, you can move a guy in or out of there?
Yeah, well, exactly, Glenn. When you practice and you only have 7 linemen at the game, then you have to back up those 5 spots with 2 people somehow, whether it's those 2 players filling in or one player going in one spot and then one of the players who's already in there bumping over to somewhere else. So that's kind of how you practice it, that, if whoever the next lineman is, let's say if it was Mark LaVore this week, then, you know, he would go in and take the reps at the spots he plays, and then Rich Orenberger would, play the spots that he plays, and and those seven guys have to cover five positions. So there's definitely moving around in practice, and sometimes you have, you know, eight or nine guys, and you have to make a decision on that at game time or closer to the game, and so then you do the rotation that way.
Bill, it seems like that second-half monster came up and bit the team again. You know, not being able to score a lot of points the second half, 3 points. Had a nice drive but couldn't get it and kick a field goal, and then wasn't consistent on first downs. What is it in the second half? Is there anything changes? Are they able to change and pick up anything you're doing or execution? But it just seems like the second half is a drop-off in the ability to move the ball when you have to and score.
Well, it wasn't a, you know, I think the third quarter, that the drive we had there was a good, I don't know, 12, 13 play drive, whatever it was.
Seven minutes.
And we just, you know, had a chance there on third down, and you know, Wes and Julian kind of got tangled up out there. Or, you know, I think we would have had a, you know, certainly had a good opportunity there.
That's when Wes was running the out to the right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in the fourth quarter, we had a couple drives there where we just, for one reason or another, a couple times it was a bad play on first down. A couple times we just didn't really connect on third down when, you know, we had a chance. And so, you know, we want to do better than that. We definitely do. It's work hard on that part of the game. Last week against Carolina, I thought that the last 5 minutes of the game was probably the best 5 minutes of the game. You know, we stopped them on defense, and we ran the clock out on offense. And this week it didn't quite go that way until that last drive. We picked up the third down to kneel on the ball. But so I can't, you know, give an exact answer on, you know, last week it was good. This week, you know, it wasn't as good.
There's not a lot of tight end usage. There's a reason why they don't throw anything to tight end, you know, any screens or any outs. Are they staying in the block a lot of times? It just seems like I don't think they had, what, three passes to the tight ends in three games?
Well, I think there was more balls thrown than that. Of course, Watson had, you know, last week he had the interference call and then pass on the sideline, touchdown pass. So, you know, we threw him some balls yesterday and a couple of them, you know, didn't end up in their hands, but, you know, we were still throwing them to him. You know, I don't think Buffalo was, we didn't feel like yesterday was a, you know, great day to screen them. They came up and got those pretty tight against the other teams we saw. And, you know, we ran one screen, you know, got a couple yards out of it. But it wasn't a big, you know, didn't look like it was going to be a big tight end screen game. So we didn't really have a lot of that.
Tully Bantekane had career high for sacks yesterday. He has been an impact player for you this season. What has been the difference? How has life changed with this guy back with you again? He is a much different player than the last time he was here, and that's understandable. You know, he's played a few more years in the league, but didn't seem to have a great impact in San Francisco, and yet in the role you have him in here right now, he seems to be making an impact most Sundays.
Yeah, Tully's had a good year for us, but I think I don't really know what happened in San Francisco. You'd have to, you know, talk to somebody else that was out there about that, but you know, when Tully was here in 06, the last year he was here, you know, he had some good production that year. And, you know, up in Minnesota, he had a big game there Monday night in the playoff games against Indianapolis. And it was at San Diego the week before that. You know, he had some production in those games. So, you know, I think that's why San Francisco signed him. You know, they signed him and gave him a good contract out there based on what he had done here in, you know, in 06 and before. So. You know, I think this year, you know, Tully's had a great attitude. He's worked hard. You know, he really wanted to be back here. We didn't really want to see him go, but just weren't able to offer the same kind of contract that San Francisco did prior to the 07 season. So it just worked out. And he's certainly taken advantage of the opportunities that he's had on the field and made a lot out of them.
Special teams. Buffalo Bills are normally a good special teams. Hanson, I think, averaged 33 yards a punt, and it seems like he wasn't getting enough hang time on the balls or anything. That's in the coverage wasn't great. That last punt, you know, they drove the ball back.
I don't think either punter had a great day, you know, punting the ball, especially from the, you know, backed up plus 50 was, you know, okay. Both guys kind of, you know, pinned them back there, but, you know, neither punter had a great day of, you know, field position getting the ball down there. So. And we didn't, you know, cover the last one particularly well either. So, you know, that's an area we just it's really been our punt coverage has been pretty good this year. But, you know, Parrish or, you know, they split us there on that last one. And so that wasn't good.
Given the vast majority of the talk leading up to this game was all about Randy Moss. Was there any extra emphasis on the offensive game plan this week to make Moss that big a part of it?
No, not really, Steve. Our emphasis this week was what it usually is to try to move the ball, score points, and convert third downs, get the ball in the end zone, stay out of third and long. That's just what we always try to do. So, and of course, that includes Randy. He's a big part of that, and you know, so are other skill players. And so our offensive game plan is really kind of the same each week, and that we try to look at our offense, look at the other opponent's defense, and see what matches up well, what we think we can run against them, what will give us the best options or the best chance for success, and that's what we did this week.
Well, I was this team, Buffalo was like 31st against the run. You ran for a pretty good amount of yardage. Is that the game plan going in, try to pound them, play action?
Well, I thought we had some, good runs in the first couple of drives, more in the first half. Our running game wasn't, it kind of went in spurts. We had a good drive there in the third quarter where we had a number of runs, and that helped us get the ball downfield. And then in the fourth quarter, it just didn't go quite as well. So, it was a little bit inconsistent. And I'd say you could say that about a lot of things yesterday, in the game that we – we had our moments where we threw the ball well, we ran it well, we defended the run well, we defended the pass well, and then there were other times where it wasn't quite as good. And so, consistency or lack of it would be, really a theme for, how we could handle that a little bit better.
And the kickoffs haven't been as deep. Is there something wrong with the he's kicking to the 10 or 12? Beginning of the year, he's kicking them out of the end zone, which helped against Ginn and against Miami, but he's not kicking as deep.
Well, I think, anytime you get in cold weather, the ball's just not going to carry as far. You saw that on the field goal yesterday, the long field goal. I think what would really concern me is if, Steve's kickoffs were not making it to the end zone, and then, the other kicker was pounding them through the end zone, and that's just, they're not getting them back there either. So, when the temperature drops, the ball just doesn't fly as well or as far. And that's that affects your field goal range, and it certainly affects the kickoffs. I thought last week against Carolina, Steve had real good height on his kickoffs, and that really helped us on our coverage. And, yesterday I thought he hit the ball, good. Maybe not the best he's ever hit it, but I thought he hit it pretty good. We just, let one get outside us there and let Jackson get it back right there before the half. And we're, lucky that, we got out of that one no points, but that was close.
I know you talked about, the game plan, just getting back to Brady and Moss, but in Tom's mindset, do you think he felt – I know, what you told him is one thing, but what he's thinking was he trying, you think, possibly to force the ball or try to get Randy a lot more involved by throwing some of those deep bombs just to get his confidence going again?
Well, I think the balls that he threw to Randy were pretty good throws. I mean, on the first one with Whitner and Florence, we really didn't have much else on the play. We had three other guys out, but they really wouldn't have been good to throw to them. I think, Tom put the ball where, he thought maybe Randy had a shot at it, and it was over Florence's head and away from the free safety. The one on the interference, Moss was 3 yards behind Whitner. Whitner bit up on the play action, and Randy was behind him. So, and Randy was behind him at the end of the game on the when he ran the double move on Florence, and Florence made a nice play on the ball, at the end there and batted it away. So, I think the ones that Tom threw down the field, for the most part, we had a shot at. Took a shot down the field to Sam, and he had his hands on a couple of those. It was good coverage. It was, tight, but, we had a shot at him. So I don't think those were being forced in there. I think it was taking advantage of man coverage, trying to throw it down there. And unfortunately, we didn't hit all of them, even though we got a couple pass interference calls, but, tried to hit those.
How are those meetings with Maroney going? Helping with – hear a lot about you and him sitting one-on-one and – help him break down what he's doing right and what he's doing wrong. Is that common? Have you done that before?
Yeah, Lawrence and I have we've pretty much done that since his rookie year. We watch film once a week, usually at the end of the week, and talk about how the week's gone, watch the practice film, and watch the opponents, and maybe how another runner has run against that particular defense. And it's good, I think, to talk to players like that, especially a guy like Lawrence, and let's talk about what he's seeing and what I'm seeing as the coach, and where I think the ball should be going, and where what he's seeing, and why he's running where he's running, and I think that helps both of us. Ivan does a great job with Lawrence and all the backs, of making sure that they understand all the blocking and the run reads and everything. But it's good to sit out with them. I do that with a number of players, you know, from time to time. Some guys, it's more regular than others. But, it's good. I mean, I think that one-on-one is, you know, it's time when you can sit down and talk and tell them what you're seeing, and they tell you what they're seeing. And I think it just, helps the overall, the overall situation.
All right, before we get to Jacksonville, Nesson is reporting today, Bill, and I'll just read the quote here. According to locker room sources, Bill Belichick issued an apology to the team for how he handled expelling Thomas, Burgess, Moss, and Guyton from the facility. Any truth to that?
Do we have a source there, or is that just some random thing?
According to locker room sources.
Well, someone hiding in the
bin. We can get somebody that, wants to talk about it. We can talk about it.
According to locker room sources, there are no sources. I can tell you this. Ted Johnson was on the broadcast when it was aired.
Was he hiding in the locker room?
By Cole Wright. And according to Ted Johnson was apparently, according to this report, AP report, in complete shock when he heard that.
Yeah. Well, I think on those kind of reports, Glenn, you need to check the sources on that. You know, if it's just some random unaffiliated source that's attributed to nobody, then I think that's really something I want to get into.
Okay.
We didn't think so.
Take a quick break. We'll take a peek at Jacksonville coming up this week next. All right, back here on the Big Show. It is Patriots Monday down here at Gillette Stadium. You've got Jacksonville coming up on Sunday. And just looking at their last game the other day, Bill, with the Indianapolis Colts. This is a football team that's playing some pretty good football right now.
Yeah, well, they always play good football. They're tough on defense, they're physical, they got a good running game, good quarterback. Don't turn the ball over much. They're a good football team.
They've had some problems with inconsistency. I mean, they were beaten up on Indianapolis and down the stretch like a lot of teams do. They fail to beat them. But is Garage an accurate passer? They have a powerful inside running game. What is the, how much difference are they from the past? A lot of some players what kind of, haven't seen them a lot. Are they a pressing defense? They run a 4-3?
Well, you know, this year they've mixed in some 3-4 with the 4-3. They've actually used both and quite a bit. You know, it's kind of, I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but, you know, somewhere in the 50-50 range. So they do both, and they're, they mix it up. They pressure. They're a zone team. They play a little bit of man-to-man, and they're big. They're a big physical team. You know, their players are big, and they're fast, and I think when you look at the, you know, across the league, you look at the average size and speed of the players at each position in the league, you know, you find Jacksonville's at the top of that at every position. You know, they're big and they're fast.
And they've had a lot of tall guys on their defensive line. Even their interior defensive linemen have been not just big, but tall and big, too. So
they're huge.
Effective still?
Well, yeah. Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, they're big, they're physical, and that's the way they play. Oh. You know, they're, you know, I think when you have that kind of players, you know, you give up some other things, but you have that. You have big physical guys that can run, and they do a good job of, you know, of playing physical. They're tough. They're strong. They don't get pushed around. They run the ball. They can stop the run, tackle pretty well. So that's the way the team's built, and that's the way it's been for a few years, and I don't see that changing unless something changed down there, which it hasn't.
They took Indy to the limit first game and the last game. I mean, they, you know, in the game the whole way, a couple mistakes. Has Garrard changed at all? He was extremely accurate, you know, early on, and this year he seems to be pretty accurate, and then he has a little bit of lapse. How much has he changed?
Well, I think he's a good quarterback. Again, he's another big, strong kid that has a real good arm, has thrown, I think, the least interceptions in the league. You know, they don't turn the ball over very much. You know, he doesn't. They don't get many penalties. They don't have many interceptions. So they do a good job protecting the ball and not making plays that give the game away. You got to earn it. You got to go out there and beat them. You got to make plays and they're not going to let you off the hook with some penalties and easy interceptions and things like that.
We're talking earlier about, you know, teams that have nowhere to go right now. Is there a difference, and I guess it's just human nature, and that if you've got a lot at stake, and right now, obviously, Jacksonville still has a lot at stake here, you obviously have a lot at stake, that you get a different effort from those teams in the last couple of games of the season?
You know, I think you get, I think in this league, you get pretty good effort on Sunday from everybody. You know, it's only 16 games, and sure, we can go back through the scores of the games at the end of the year and find teams that weren't playing for much, winning games over teams that were supposedly playing for more. So
the Giants game, undefeated season, they didn't have to play. And then you.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can find, you know, hundreds of examples of that. So, and we see it every week. Teams that are supposed to win don't win. Teams that aren't supposed to win, according to the experts and all that, they do. And so that's all based on how the two teams play on that day.
How do you approach the end of the season with guys kind of banged up? You back off practice a little bit. You take pads off. Do you do any hitting during the week?
You know, it varies, Fred. I think you got to do what you feel like is best for your football team. And you know, that's really kind of a week-to-week, sometimes even day-to-day decision. You know, you decide what you feel like your team needs and maybe what it doesn't need and do it accordingly. So I don't have any set formula, you know, it's this way or it's that way. Again, it's just based on where I think our team is, who we're playing, what we need to do, how we can best get ready, and then we go out there and try to do it. So we've done all of the above. We've practiced shorter, practiced longer, practiced with pads, practiced without pads. You know, done 9-on-7 running drills, pass rush drills, not done them. So it just kind of depends on what you feel like you need.
How does Christmas falling on a Friday this year mess up your schedule?
I think Christmas will. What our schedule is going to be is we'll be off probably the morning part and then come in at some point later in the morning and then you know go through a few things and then wrap it up. So it'll kind of be like a normal Friday, but maybe a little bit shorter and just move it back a little bit so that everybody can spend a little time with their families in the morning.
Jacksonville's had the long week because they played on Thursday night, so they get the long week for you.
Right, yeah. Well, we know we're behind on preparations on Jacksonville. There's no doubt about it. They're 3 days ahead of us, so we're going to have to, you know, got some catching up to do. I talked to the team about that today, and we know they've had time that we haven't had. So now we've got to put our foot on an accelerator and try to get caught back up.
With the success of that moving linebacker defense that you had against Buffalo, can we anticipate seeing more of that in the next two games?
Well, we'll take a look at how it matches up against Jacksonville and what we feel like we can do with it or not do with it. We're not really at that point yet, Steve. But as you know, things that we have in our system can come back or not come back, and you know there isn't a whole lot that we do that you haven't seen us do before.
Yep.
Might not have seen it the week before or 2 weeks before or a month before, but you know you've probably seen it, and I'd say for the most part that's true. Just about everything we run is. Can't really think of too many things that we've run this year or any year where we've said, well, we've never done this before. It's based on a foundation or a concept that we've used in the past. So
the variations would be how many times you blitz guys and drop them off and confuse the lineman with a block and the quarterback would make his initial read.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying we wouldn't, add a little wrinkle to it or try to make it, look a little different or add. But, the fundamental of the defenses are the same. I don't think you want to. Start putting in defenses that nobody's run before and, have a day or two of practice on it and then go out there and expect that you're going to, do it against a team that's 14, 15 weeks into the regular season. That'd be asking a lot.
How close were they, Warren and Wolford before the game time?
They were questionable. I'd say there were, we thought when we listed them there, we thought that, they might have a shot. As it turned out, they didn't quite make it. So we'll start this week on Wednesday and see where they're at and see what they're able to do in practice and, just start up again. Sometimes, after a couple of days, there's enough improvement to where, they make it the next week. And, and sometimes there isn't. They improve, but it's still not, it still doesn't quite put them there.
So what is the gauge for that?
We'll just have to.
Just their pain level they can take?
Well, the first thing they have to do is be able to practice. So if they can practice on Wednesday, then, that's a good sign, or Thursday or Friday. So, last practice we had was on Friday. The guys that didn't play in the game obviously were out other than getting treatment and stuff over the weekend. And, our next practice now will be on Wednesday, and we'll see where we are on Wednesday, whether those players are able to practice or not. We really won't know until we, get out there, warm up, go through the, beginning part of practice and see whether they're able to feel good enough to keep it going.
Would you play a guy on Sunday if he didn't practice at all? Let's say just Sunday morning he suddenly miraculous recovery and he felt great and he was cleared by the medical staff. Would you throw him out there if he didn't practice during the week?
It would depend on the situation. It would depend on the situation. We've done that before, sure, mm-hmm. and then we've not done that. It would just depend on the player and the situation and probably what you're going to ask him to do and all honesty, what your other options were.
How much difference has it been from the past? Because injuries were different. I mean, you'd go out there with a lot more injuries than play. Do they? Are the trainers more guarded about sending a guy out with an ankle or a knee these days than they were when you were a youngster?
I don't really think so, Fred. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I'm no doctor, but I can stand out there and watch a player perform and see whether he can run and cut or, you know, has explosive power in his upper body and his lower body. And the assistant coaches can see that, too. And really, ultimately, that's what it comes down to. I mean, when the medical people, you know, permit the players to participate in practice, then it really becomes a coaching decision as to whether you think the player is able to perform his functions and skills, you know, at a competitive and a winning level and relative to the other people that you have available to do that, too. So that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, if a player is not medically cleared to play, then there's nothing to talk about. If he is cleared to play, then it becomes an evaluation of, you know, where you think that player is. And, again, it depends on what, you know, what you're going to ask him to do.
You come up against a lot of great running backs throughout the year, but what makes Maurice Jones-Drew so unique?
You know, Pete, I think he's really pretty good at everything, and that's the hard part. You know, he's got whatever it is, 50 catches, so he's a factor in the passing game. He's got real good balance. He's got good speed. He has good vision, of course. So I think the vision and the balance and the ability to get into holes. You know, a lot of backs, I'll say a lot, some backs can see the hole. They don't have the quickness and the acceleration to get in it. Other guys have that kind of quickness and acceleration. They don't have the vision to see some of those things or the patience sometimes to see those things open up. Maurice can get outside. He can get inside. Some backs are better at one type of play or another. You know, they need to get out in space. Other guys do better in closer quarters. But he seems to be pretty good at everything, and he's good in the passing game. So, you know, when you go against a guy like that, you got a lot to defend. There's other backs that you say, well, you know, this guy, you know, really wants to get outside. You know, if we don't let him outside, then he's not as effective. Well, you can't say that about Jones-Drew, you know, or vice versa. So
it's hard to see him too.
Well, you know, he does a good job of that. I mean, he can kind of, can kind of hide a little bit behind his blockers, and it is tough to find. You know, we had when Steve and I were at the Giants, we had Joe Morris.
Yep.
You know, Joe was short. He wasn't small. I mean, he was thick, 205 or whatever he was, and very fast. Yeah, 210, whatever it was, and very fast. He wasn't a small guy, but he was short, and that did make it hard for for linebackers to see over those 6'4", 6'5", offensive linemen, you know, to see the back, and you do lose them a little bit. So, in a way, that works to his advantage a little bit, and also, you know, his balance, because he's a guy that gets hit a lot but doesn't go down when he gets hit. He's able to, he's got good lower body strength. He's able to bounce off those hits and keep his balance or keep going forward.
Do they use him in more situations this year? Virtually every situation before they had Taylor, and they'd use him in different situations, goal line or whatever?
Yeah, I think he's in there for everything, and he's been in there for everything. When, when you have two backs like that, kind of like Miami with Williams and Brown, whichever one's in there can do it. If you have both of them, maybe you split it up however you decide to split it up, by downs or by – offensive packages or whatever, but I don't think there's anything that, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew can't do, including return kicks, and he's done that for him too. So, he's a pretty complete player. I think whatever they want him to do, he can do, and he's pretty good in blitz pickup.
Was it a couple of years ago in down Jacksonville, everyone thought he was down, and he popped back up and ran?
As on Christmas Eve, I think. Right?
Yeah, he hit
that was a chippy game, if I remember.
Yeah, it was. He hit into the line, kind of spun out, and went down on the ground, and we didn't tag him down soon enough, and even though it was down, he actually went down because he ran into one of his linemen as he was trying to cut, and we weren't the ones that caused him to go down, so he was able to get up, and we were kind of asleep at the switch on that play, and it ended up being a 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
All right, congratulations on the win yesterday, Coach. Good luck coming up on Sunday, and have a Merry Christmas.
All right, thanks. Merry Same Christmas. To you and all the listeners out there. Happy holidays.